It's May 2007. Welcome to the Student Press Law Center podcast. This monthly update on the conflicts and controversies affecting the legal rights of the student press is made possible by a generous grant from the Newspaper Association of America Foundation. The Student Press Law Center is a champion for student voices. Recognizing the essential roles freedoms of speech and press play in a democratic society, the SPLC is committed to nurturing and protecting those freedoms for students. I'm Mark Goodman, Student Press Law Center Executive Director. For more information about the SPLC or any of the issues I mentioned today, go to the SPLC website, www.splc.org. Or if you're a student journalist or media advisor who has a question about your legal rights or responsibilities, call us at 703-807-1904. One of the most controversial issues in the free expression world these days relates to speech that's perceived as condemning others because of their race, sex, religion, or some other classification relating to who they are as human beings, often seen as based on prejudice and sometimes referred to as hate speech. This expression is punishable under the laws of many countries. But courts in the United States, based on our strong First Amendment protections, have generally rejected limitations on hate speech unless there's evidence that the expression in question is inciting imminent violence or threatening actual physical harm. In this country, the person expressing a view that is racist, sexist, or homophobic is typically protected from government punishment or censorship. But despite these protections, conflicts still frequently arise over whether particular kinds of hurtful speech should be protected. And as with most First Amendment issues, schools are not immune from these conflicts. Three recent court decisions have attempted to define how the protections for hate speech extend to public high school students, with some confusing results. The most recent case arose in California, where a state court of appeal ruled earlier this month that a high school violated the free press rights of a student newspaper columnist when the school claimed his controversial editorial on immigration violated school policy and should not have been published. The case began in 2002 when Novato High School student Andrew Smith, now a U.S. Marine, authored two opinion pieces for his school student newspaper, The Buzz. The first controversial column, titled Immigration, criticized immigrants who do not speak English and listed reasons why Smith believed immigration laws are ineffective. After that column appeared, the school sent a letter home to parents condemning it, saying it was a violation of school policy and pledging that such speech would not be allowed to be published again. Smith's next column, called Reverse Racism, explored his views on everything from school fights to the O.J. Simpson case. That column was delayed but eventually published with a counterarticle beside it. The unanimous decision of a three-judge panel of the Court of Appeal, announced on May 21st, held that Smith's column was not inciting speech that the district was authorized to prohibit under the California Education Code. California's statutory protections for high school journalists, which are found in Education Code Section 48907, were enacted in 1977. This ruling is a significant victory for California's high school student media and reaffirms the value of state student free press laws, several of which have been proposed around the country just this year. As the court in this case found, the fact that self-professed conservative students' viewpoints might have been unpopular or unsophisticated did not mean that they were less deserving of legal protection. Quoting earlier Supreme Court rulings, the judge noted, "Any word spoken in class, in the lunchroom, or on the campus that deviates from the views of another person may start an argument or cause a disturbance. But our Constitution says we must take this risk, and our history says that it is this sort of hazardous freedom, this kind of openness, that is the basis of our national strength and of the independence and vigor of Americans who grow up and live in this relatively permissive, often disputatious society." In contrast to that California ruling, In April, a federal district court denied a preliminary injunction request filed by two Neuqua Valley High School students who wanted to wear T-shirts that read, "Be Happy, Not Gay." The parents of the students filed a lawsuit against the Indian Prairie School District in March for prohibiting one of the students from wearing her T-shirt in April 2006. The students wanted to wear the shirt this year in support of the Day of Truth, a nationwide silent protest against homosexual behavior held on April 19th, in opposition to the Day of Silence supporting tolerance for gays that's traditionally held the day before. Both students attributed their protest to their Christian beliefs. The ruling in Zalmanik versus Indian Prairie School District that some school limitation on the anti-gay T-shirts, for example, requiring the shirts to say, "Be happy, be straight," instead of "Be happy, not gay," was permissible. An attorney for the students said the ruling, which was preliminary in nature, will be appealed. This is the second case in recent months to target speech by students expressing anti-gay sentiments on a T-shirt. Last August, a federal appeals court in California ruled that a public high school was justified in prohibiting a student from wearing a T-shirt that said, "Be ashamed, our school embraced what God has condemned," on the front, and "Homosexuality is shameful, Romans 1:27," on the back. In March, the U.S. Supreme Court vacated that decision and sent the case back to the district court. What these cases make clear is that some judges appear willing to carve out a new, and in the view of the Student Press Law Center, troubling exception to protections for independent, in-school student expression when that expression is deemed to be intolerant. Contrary to those who believe that supporting student press freedom is always an effort by those with a conservative outlook trying to silence students' liberal viewpoints, this case reminds us that administrative censorship cuts across all political, philosophical, and religious lines, and that those expressing unpopular viewpoints, whether liberal, conservative, or somewhere in between, remain most at risk of censorship. Those in the majority urging the censorship fail to remember that someday they might be supporting the unpopular viewpoint and that it will be their speech, called intolerant or offensive, that is under attack. The words of the California Court of Appeal in the Novato case are worth repeating. "Our Constitution says we must take the risk of tolerating hateful expression, and our history says that it is this sort of hazardous freedom, this kind of openness, that is the basis of our national strength." That's our podcast for May 2007. Our next podcast will be in August to kick off the new school year. Thanks to the Newspaper Association of America Foundation for its support of this project. I'm Mark Goodman. On behalf of all of us at the Student Press Law Center, thanks for listening. We value student voices. We hope you do too.